That movie sucked.
I kind of liked it.
Movie Night Crew Network.
Rotten cabbages? What kind of slum do you think this is?
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Zach.
Hey, it's time to do another one of those episodes that we do. You know, we talk about Avatar. We
riff on it. I got a lot of stuff going on, and I'm not sure that I penciled enough time in for another episode.
We talked about this, okay? Today was the day we were supposed to record.
Well, hopefully we don't have anyone special coming on as a guest or anything.
It's fine. It's just us. No, all chill all the time. Oh my God, two other people are here. What a
surprise!
Shocker.
Yeah, we bombed your Zoom here.
Oh my God, so this consider the Zoom bombed.
We typed in a random code and here we are.
It happened to work out.
It just so happened that we both do podcasts. How about that?
How about it? Got a mic right here.
I'm starting to think this whole operation was planned in some way.
Nah, well,
this seems just like Omegle to me.
We have with us today two very special guests. They're hosts of a very funny, very good podcast called Laura Limpod. Please welcome Zoe and Aaron to the show. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thank you so much for inviting us. We're amped to be here.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
I'm trying not to fangirl a little bit because with the amount immensity that you all love Lore Olympus, or we love Lore Olympus, is how much I love your podcast. So.
She's a big fan.
Oh my
that
God.
That is truly too kind.
Yeah. Like, we're just garbage. So, like, thank you.
You know what? My dog, our dog, he's a trash panda. I guess that makes me a trash panda, and I will always find something glittery, and it's wonderful. So, why don't you all...
May I introduce you to my personal cologne, Scent of Imposter Syndrome. It's all over me.
You're in a good splash of that.
That's relatable. Oh, God.
Why don't y'all go ahead and introduce yourselves and tell us what y'all do and your history or how you came upon Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Okay. Zoe seems to be pointing at me, so I'll go first. my name is Aaron.
Brady Bunch point.
I am one half of Laura Limpod with Zoe, which, as was mentioned, is a podcast about Laura Olympus, the webtoon. And if you're not reading it, you should start. We'll talk about that later.
What are you even doing with your life?
Truly. Like, have you been on the internet?
Do you even read, bro? I don't know.
Yeah. Truly. Exactly. I, like everyone who's like a early 90s millennial, watched Avatar in chunks when it came out and then watched the reruns for years and years on Nickelodeon. My little brother owns the entire series on DVD, and for a long time he had a portable DVD player, and anytime we went anywhere in the car he would just be like, okay, I'm just watching Avatar. And
that's
so
awesome.
It was just, he's a little nerd. Special little baby, which I mean, same. Apple tree, etc. So I've seen it a lot, but I don't think that I'd ever sat down and watched it in order before. Zoe recently discovered Avatar. And when she was talking about it again all the time, I was like, oh God, Avatar's so great. And my partner lived under a rock for the first 30 years of his life somehow. So he hadn't read Harry Potter
Sam,
until
how
last
dare you?
Year.
Oh my God.
Exactly. So he hadn't read Harry Potter until last year, and he had never seen or thought about Avatar. And so I was like, Sam, it's time. It's time. And so now we're through season two, and it's very fun to be able to watch it with him. And yeah. So anyway.
That's great.
That's an extended history of me and Avatar.
Awesome.
I'm always going to love hearing another couple or friendship come about because of Avatar. Yeah. So good for you. Although for me, I'm pretty sure I wore on our first date, Zach wore a Doctor Who t-shirt and I wore a Harry Potter t-shirt.
Oh my God.
And I'm
That's a good
pretty
sign.
Yeah, it was love at first, nerd. But I'm pretty sure that if he had told me, like, he hadn't read or didn't like Harry Potter, that would have been a deal breaker for me.
That's it's so funny you say that, because Sam literally told me on our first date, he was like, I haven't read Harry Potter. And he was like, this is kind of a joke, but I have had people leave dates when I say that to them. And he was like, so if you are going to do that, you should like go now.
That's so funny.
You can't leave after that, though.
I know.
Poor guy.
What point does your non-reading of Harry Potter interfere with enough dates where you're just like, all right, let's just see what these fucking magical school kids are up to.
Right. Fucking disclose it. Yeah.
Book on tape or something. Come on.
What's your history with Harry Potter? I wanted to get laid, dang it. Yeah. It's been so long.
I was literally 29 years old and could not get someone to date me.
I finally read it. Oh, God.
I was told I'm a Hufflepuff. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Grasping at straws.
Literally. That's his
life. Well, as much as we love Harry Potter.
We're going to talk about Avatar, folks.
Oh, Zoe. How about you? What's your history with Avatar?
It's much more abridged than Aaron's. I had never seen Avatar, even though I am an early 90s millennial. And it actually came about because there's this one Lore Olympus fan artist who posts all the time named Jamie, who's like known for doing her like Hades Hera ship stuff.
We're all gonna fan we out over Jamie. Jamie right
we
now.
Love you, Jamie. And she started posting. She was like gradually shifting out of Hades and Hera ship stuff into Zuko and Sokka ship stuff. And I was like, I don't know who these people are, but I see it all over my feed. And I happened to be talking to my friend David, who's like, you know, our close friend. He's gonna officiate our wedding.
Yeah. And he's also our like, DM for D&D.
Oh yeah, he is our
That's
DM.
So awesome.
A good person. And he was like, you must watch it. I'm gonna force you to watch it. I want you to live text me about every episode. So then it was really a bonding activity for me and my DM. And credit goes to Jamie.
Jamie. That's amazing.
Jamie,
and I think,
I can say without a shadow of doubt that Jamie is why we're all here right now.
I was about to say, I think that's why we all like, because Jamie is the reason I got into Lore Olympus.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I started watching stuff because I can't remember if they commented on something or I just randomly came across this amazing artist, because they definitely were drawing Zuka stuff. So I was a huge fan. That is my number one ship always. And then I was like, what is this like Lore Olympus? And it took me like a month or so before I finally like picked it up. It was like right in the middle when we were moving from Pittsburgh to Baltimore. And then I just like stayed up, I think, for three straight days.
She came back to me like not even a week later. And she was like, I'm out of it. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I'm out of it. I'm out of new Lore Olympus. I'm out of new stuff.
What am I going to do with my life?
Full disclosure. I've never read it. So if y'all are going to leave the Zoom meeting, go ahead and do that right now. And I'll understand. And
so eerily similar to my first date with Sam.
We forgive you, I guess.
I love the art
style. All the shout outs that we've been doing for Jamie, I feel like we should just actually tell people to follow Jamie's Instagram, which is Jamie_draws_stuff_. So.
Perfect.
Go follow Jamie. And I believe
go follow
at Jamie Sketches on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got it.
Yeah. Great.
That's perfect.
Yes.
Amazing.
I pulled up her Twitter just so I could make sure we got that. But like, perfect. I know Instagram is more like y'all are like artsy definitely more stuff. Active on Instagram. We don't have an Instagram.
She's gonna be listening to this, like, oh my god, you guys stop.
Well, if she is, thank you, Jamie. We love you. And if you have or have not gotten married yet, either way, congratulations.
Woo. Congrats.
My brother just got married. It's wedding season, y'all.
That's true.
It's double wedding season because it's like last year was the tide rushing out for a tidal wave, and this year is the tidal wave.
Tell me about it. I'm trying to book vendors for my wedding in October 2022. It's a full year from now. Vendors are all already booked.
Yeah.
Everyone is wedding-ing now.
The wedding-ing.
Yeah.
The wedding-ing. Congratulations to you, Zoe.
Oh, thanks.
That gives me much hope, because at my brother's wedding, I caught the bouquet, and everyone was like, so you guys, you're next, right? And so it's just like, yeah, you got a few years, but I can tell you it's not happening in October.
Yeah.
House first, wedding second. It's like, yes. There was that Netflix show, like House or Wedding, where couples basically get met by a wedding planner or a realty agent, and they have to choose whether or not they want the house or the wedding.
Ridiculous premise.
Every fucking couple picks a wedding, and it drives me crazy.
That's preposterous.
Absurd.
Pick a house with a nice backyard and get married in the backyard. House is hard.
Yes.
Yeah, but when they give you like your dream wedding that's just as expensive as the house, like you tell any girl or person that dreamt their whole life. Yeah,
you get the house, and if you don't like it, you sell the house and you have your big fucking wedding.
There you go. See, you found all the loopholes.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we should like talk about this episode or something.
Yeah. Might as well.
Yeah. So this is Avatar: The Last Airbender, Book 2, Earth, Chapter 20, The Crossroads of Destiny.
Dun, dun.
I can't believe it's been... This is a season finale. Like, where has season 2 even gone? Jeez.
Well, two episodes we haven't recorded yet, because this is happening in the past, everyone. Well, hey, hello from the past. We're recording this, full disclosure, before the Guru and the other one, the Earth King.
It's the Earth King.
Yeah, the Earth King and the Guru. So,
who? Let's be fair. No one cares. The Earth King is such a milquetoast of a character. No one cares about him. He offers nothing to the plot. The only thing I care about is Bear Bosco.
God, yeah. Tell him.
Such a little stupid man. He just needs to be in a room of all pillows with a babysitter at all times.
And his bear. Don't forget Bosco.
Bosco is
the babysitter.
That's we stand unreal. Bosco on this show. We stand
That's
Bosco.
Correct. Yeah. That's correct.
So
even if he is just a regular bear,
that's even more special in this world.
Right?
Yeah.
We're going to do this thing where we read a plot synopsis so that we're not like chained to every single scene in chronological order, and we can just kind of talk about the parts we want to talk about.
Oh, that's a neat. Great idea.
I'm supposed to have that up, aren't I?
I always use the analogy of like when the Mars Curiosity rover first landed on Mars, scientists would describe it as like, it's as if you have like 1,500 astrophysicists crammed into a minivan.
Sounds like a nightmare. Yeah, that sounds fucking terrible.
And every 5 feet it moves, someone goes, hey, hold on, pull over. I want to look at that rock over there. And it's like it is with any episode. We're just like, there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, in attempt to keep this on the rails,
good luck.
Episode synopsis, a la Avatar Wiki. Seriously, though, where were we with our lives? Like, how did we not grow up with Wikipedia? Like,
God,
I can't imagine my life without it. All of those book reports.
Be like, I think this happened in this show. No, I think this happened. Well, I guess we'll just never know.
Truly. Like, there's no answer. There's no source out there.
Yeah.
So, Azula betrays Longfen and assumes leadership of the Dai Li. While Team Avatar attempts to stop her, Zuko, after some deliberation over the consequences of his actions, betrays his uncle's trust and chooses to attack the Avatar. Aang is killed by Azula while in the Avatar state, but Iroh intervenes and gives his friends enough time to escape. With the Earth King overthrown, Ba Sing Se falls to the Fire Nation. Katara uses the spirit water to revive Aang. And that's how we end this season.
Intense.
Wow,
as shit.
Such a you know intense. What we're really sorry, because like we realize that a lot of the times we bring guests on, like these episodes just hit hard, man. Yeah.
Oh, this episode is epic though.
It is definitely epic.
And it's a good thing that y'all mentioned Dungeons and Dragons, because we were like, you know, that's always like a good like litmus test to see just how nerd someone is. Mm, and so we throw Dungeons and Dragons and any other type of nerd at all times.
If you say roll for initiative and they say, what is that, like a gymnastics move? You're like, get out of my house. Just get out of my house.
No, to be fair, I'm pretty sure it took me like 8 months of playing D&D to even know what that meant. I'm truly the stupidest D&D player on earth. Like, to this day, I'm like, what do I roll to shoot my crossbow? I've only been playing for 4 years. I don't know.
To be fair, though, Zoe always picks characters that are explicitly conflict averse. Zoe's like, my character chooses to run away and hide.
And cast the spells from the bush. And wild shape into a duck.
Yeah.
That's such a problem too, because my brother was a bard who was very strictly like anti-violence, and we were like tasked with killing this giant, and he was just like, yeah, he's not gonna do it.
Yeah.
So his character just wandered off into the sunset, and he rolled up a new character that did want to kill the giant.
That's really funny.
That's really funny.
Commit to your character. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're good at that.
Speaking of committing to your character, segue. Whoa.
Whoa.
We got Azula giving some really strong vibes at the start of this episode here.
Was like, Azula is such a badass. I was like, I don't not stan Azula during this episode. Like, obviously she's bad. She's so bad. Right. Oh, but she's so good at it. Like, when she was like, you're not even a player, I was like, Azula.
Slain.
My God, look at you, my queen. This is your birthright. Yeah. Dear God.
It's like she just stood up and fucking dabbed on him or something. It's
literally.
Like, yeah.
She was just like, I'm going to make eye contact with you until you piss yourself and run away. And he was like, okay.
I like when she gets taken to his prison cell and he's like, aha, I have discovered your identity. And she's like, oh no. Oh, yeah. Oh gosh. Uh-huh. Oh, what am I going to do? Like, she's just hamming like, it up. Okay, so
you don't manhandle a Kyoshi warrior. I am. Wait. Oh, wait, Dad. Yeah, no, I'm not a Kyoshi warrior. How smart.
It's like, oh, no.
How did you know?
Yeah.
You found out that I am, in fact, a secret person whose interests are aligned with yours at this exact second.
Also, I feel like the character that confuses me all the time in almost every episode is Ty Lee.
Yes.
Like, I just don't know. Are you nice? Are you a sadist? I don't know. Can you be both? I don't get it. Like, what do you get out of this friendship? I just don't. I am so confused.
Yeah.
It's like May just doesn't give a shit ever about anything. And then Ty Lee also doesn't give a shit about anything, but she's like manic all the time. That's like the only difference. She's like bouncing off the walls.
And like positive, like, wow, Azula, you're sure the best at being a sadist and tormenting people. Gee willikers.
Like, but I like the way he screamed in A minor when you burned him on the face.
I also think Ty Lee didn't Azula like coerce her though into joining, like when she went to get her from the circus, she was like, I actually don't want to go, Azula. And she was like, well, it would sure be a shame if I murdered everyone you loved. So
she while Ty Lee is performing, she's like, hey, take away the net. Actually, you know what? Don't take away the net. Set it on fire instead.
Yeah.
She does the show and she comes back and she's like, Azula, I've made a decision.
I'm going to come with you.
Yeah, Ty Lee is a fascinating character.
Yeah. And she just, you know, she's just like, I just, what was it in the, it was the drill episode. And she's just like, she makes this comment where it's just like, oh yeah, look at the smoke. I whimsical sadist, maybe?
Yeah.
Whimsical sadist. That's like the strangest.
A classic archetype.
That's the strangest D&D alignment I've ever heard of.
Like, the dark version of a manic pixie dream girl.
I guess it's kind of chaotic neutral.
A manic pixie nightmare girl?
Love that. Yeah. That's it.
Great.
Yeah, and then I do also stan Azula in this episode. Like, this entire couple seasons, I've been like, when people are on Twitter And, you know, if you've come across an Azula Stan account, like, God help you. Because if you at any point say or criticize Azula, like, you're going to have to, like, change your identity. Because they will find you. And I have just, like,
taking after their leader.
I have refrained until now from saying anything super strong about Azula on the podcast and definitely not tweeting anything about it. But it wasn't until this end of this episode when she, yeah, makes the comment to Longfan about you're just a player or you've never been a player at any time in this game. And she just sits down in that throne and I'm like,
God
damn. All right. I kind of have to love, like, I love to hate Azula.
Yeah.
But, go off, queen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Something else that I was thinking about in this episode with Azula is that she is such a good villain because we see her, like, twice in this episode be like, I'm not playing by your stupid honorable rules. I'm here to fucking kill you. Like, Kazuko is like, I'm gonna challenge you to this duel. And she's like, no, suck my dick. Go rot in jail. Bye.
I love that.
Like, and then Aang is, like, doing his Avatar State warm-up. And she's like, this is a perfect time to shoot you. Like, it's, like, she is such a good villain because she's like, to be clear, I'm not, this isn't a thing where we're equals and we're playing some kind of matchup. This is a thing where I kill you and then I win. Like,
it's almost, it would almost be like if it would almost be like if Sailor Moon was like halfway through her like Henshin transformation and she just takes a bullet to the head, falls over.
Exactly.
It was like that, yeah.
I, when she is, when Zuko decides to turn on Iroh and they're running away and he literally face palms after Zuko's like, nah, I have to go fight Azula. Peace off, uncle. And when her tone of voice, when she's just like, aw, little baby Zuzu, are you gonna challenge me to an Agni Kai?
Oh my god.
Also, like in segueing into the Zuko conversation, I just have, I'm full of like happy sadness seeing Zuko be nice to Iroh.
I know
that it's like a fleeting moment and that he's about to be disappointed. I just, all I want is Iroh to be happy, and it means so much to him when Zuko's just passably nice to him. Like, petition for just 1,000 episodes of them like eating breakfast together being nice to each other, you know?
Yeah.
I want to see that like side, like that spinoff show, and I'm so mad we didn't see any of that in Korra. Like, we, Iroh does come back from the spirit world, but yeah, I'm just super bummed we don't get more of, like, it's a very Studio Ghibli, like, just those little moments where they're running a tea shop and, like, Zuko gets to go out with that girl that he went on a date with, like, a few episodes before.
I have to animate an entire, like, anime-style intro where Iroh and Zuko just run a tea shop together.
I would love that. Is that so much to ask for? Yeah. Come on. Come on, world. Come on,
I'm
producers
sure it comes
of
up
this
in
show.
The comics.
It's easy money. People will watch that. Just
that's
do it.
Real. That's real.
We say Brian and Mike, the creators of the show, like, you're welcome, because all the time we just give the best ideas for new content on this show and they can just have it. Like, you don't even have to credit us. Just maybe like listen to our podcast, maybe retweet us.
God willing.
It's a generous offer from you guys.
Oh, yeah. Very.
Well, it's like, what's it? Dante Basco and
Janet Varney.
Janet Varney just started an Avatar podcast. And I was on our last episode, I was like, we're first. So you got to come on our show first. We beat you to it.
Good.
Yes, good. Establish your domain.
That's right. Assert dominance.
Yes, good. Yes. Make yourself big.
T-pose.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God.
I think Zuko is probably, one of my favorite characters.
Same.
The perfect triad for me is Iroh, Sokka, and Zuko. And Zuko has the best redemption arc. And I actually forgot, because just like you, Aaron, like I watched it in chunks growing up. I never actually sat down until like last year and like watched the show like the whole way through. And I was like, damn, like I thought Zuko's redemption arc like started like halfway through season two. And it's like, nope, he just straight up does a mutiny.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like he.
Yeah. It's almost like he disappoints you as an audience member so profoundly in this episode that it's like it gets blocked out of your mind. Yeah. You're like, surely he should be MC of Avatar by now.
Yeah. He really ebbs and flows.
Like, I blocked out that trauma of Zuko betraying Iroh and therefore me.
And therefore me personally, right?
Yeah. Aaron, particularly you. Fuck you.
Yeah, that clip from me from Steven Universe.
He's awful because he hurt me specifically.
Yeah, exactly. That is this.
Yeah.
They say don't take things personally. I take everything personally.
Correct. Yes. Correct. That's the only way to live.
So yeah, it was cool to finally see the Dragon of the West like go off. He drinks in that tea and he's like, boom. I don't know. Was the tea like lighter fluid? Is he just always drinking lighter fluid so he's ready to just pop off like that?
Anything's possible.
Yeah, that's a headcanon I can get behind. I could also get behind the literal headcanon that he was just like, I just wanted tea. The tea and is unrelated.
Or even better, the tea is like Popeye's spinach. He just has to drink it before he can, like, really go off.
Yes.
I mean, it was already piping hot.
Yeah.
True.
I
don't know. Like, maybe, like, instead of Jesus turning water into wine, Iroh turns hot tea into lighter fluid. Like, I don't know.
Sign me up for that religion. I'm here. I'm ready. You tell me the day of the week that we're going to worship on. I'll be there.
That's so sounds funny. Great. What a ridiculous superpower. Amazing. God.
But that moment was so good because it was like, fuck you, Azula. You're going to be rude and dismissive of me. Literally, fuck you. You're about to all catch on fire. Bye. Literally. I love it.
He said, I'm going to show you why I'm called the Dragon of the West, I'm like, oh shit, he ain't going to whip out his dick in front of the kids. This is a children's show.
We don't need. Well, hey, comedy comes in threes, and I'm pretty sure we've already gotten at least two Iroh dick jokes. Like, so it's high time for a third.
Amazing. Though I do have to say, like, around here, like, it is a children's show, but around here, I was watching it as an adult. So, like, around here is when I kind of forgot that it was a children's show and therefore not going to be as dark as I was worried it was going to be. I was like really convinced, like especially in season three, I was like, Zuko's going to die. So-and-so's going to die. Everyone's going to die. Everything's going to be bad. Like, Aang is like, whatever, going to be tormented by X, Y, and Z. And like it all turns out fine because it's a kid's show. But I as an adult did not remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is nice. Like, it's nice that it is fine. Like, what a pleasant surprise from the world, you know?
This is just, it's so rare that a show, like, is so consistently good and compelling and, like, emotionally investing the entire time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it sticks the landing. It feels like so often a show, you're like, yes, oh, I love this, I can't wait. Wait, is that, that's it? There's no more?
Penny
there's
Dreadful, no more. Looking at you.
Penny Dreadful, I'm sorry, I disconnected my audio for a second. Oh my god, Penny Dreadful is like one of my favorite shows of all time.
It was so good until the end. The end disappointed me endlessly.
Zoe and I were watching it together and we were just like, let's burn it down. This ending was like, but it was so
like they
great.
Were so clearly canceled.
Yeah. But they try to get it off. The season writers are like, no, we only had three seasons of this show planned. Yeah. And it was meant to end this way. And I'm like,
BS.
No. Yeah. I can't, don't want to give spoilers because I do want to like Zach to watch
I've
it.
I've only
with
seen
me.
The first season.
Oh, be prepared for it to go downhill rapidly at the very end.
Yeah,
but it's
okay.
Great until then.
Yeah.
Eva Green is just one of my favorite actresses ever. I have such a hardcore woman power crush on her. Amen. And her outfits in that show, I just wish I could dress like that every day.
Amen.
Is that too much to ask here?
God, no.
It's not. It's really reasonable.
Also, fun fact, Dorian Gray from Penny Dreadful is Orpheus in Hadestown. So
no I don't way. Know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how into musicals you are, but that is something that blows our mind every single day.
Yeah. Wait, so who was it? Dorian Gray?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Thank you. Exactly. Yep. That's exactly the right reaction.
Yep.
In my mind, at first, I was picturing Dr. Frankenstein.
Oh.
And I'm like, I didn't picture him like being a musical guy, but Dorian Gray.
They
I'm
both just, like, cute, ooh.
Like, is there blood play in Hadestown? Cause like
they like they both pretty cute though. So like yeah. You know, yeah. Por que no las dos.
Yeah, I mean I don't think there's an unattractive person cast in that show.
Yeah.
Babe, you could dress like Eva Green every day, but you'd have to get up at 5 a.m. Now, I'm willing to give you a hand. Make sure you're up and out of bed at 5 a.m.
How dare you?
If you want to wear, like, a formal gown every day, that'd be fine.
How dare you? Yeah, he knows. Zach is the morning person, and I'm not.
Alex,
I'm up at, like, 7 a.m.
So
with
hard.
A coffee, and Alex is, like, rolling out of bed onto her computer for work.
Absolutely yeah, no. not. No, thank you.
I'm sometimes still in bed I'm turning on my computer.
That's correct. That's
yeah.
correct.
Mm-hmm. Work from home. Like, God
scrolling
bless.
Through work email on my phone as I'm still lying in bed.
That's
oh, my God.
So
that is so my life.
Yeah. Yup. Like, I sent one email from my phone. That means I clocked in.
Yeah. Pandemic life be like.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I want to turn my video back on, but I don't want to lag. But that is, and because my work, we used Gmail. And yeah. so I always check my email and I'm like, yep, I'll respond to one. And then I'll also make sure like I get a Google chat like
yes.
in there. And yep. then we're good.
Yep.
Yeah.
So relatable. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, well, if only, well, speaking of a children's show, this is, there's no children or child labor that we know of, unless you're talking about Zuko. But he's, I think, the one child, like, he's technically 16, almost 17, so mm-hmm. he is, like, in some states, legally able to hold down a job, just as long as, like, he gets that permission form signed that he can, like, be driving mm-hmm. back after like 10 o'clock at night or some mm-hmm. shit. I don't know. At least that's how it was in North Carolina.
Yeah, he can work in Maryland. It's like, you can work at 16. Fine, fuck it.
Yeah, right? So, but all the other kids, like, they can't relate to sending work emails, unfortunately.
No.
Which begs the question, how is mail even sent in this world? Is it all on, like, scrolls? I don't know. We made a joke at one point that in Omashu, when they have, like, the chutes going down and, like, that Jeff Bezos is from there because, like, they have, like, the most expedient mail system.
Oh my
but
God.
What about all the other cities?
Maybe they write all of their shit on, like, stone tablets and then an earthbender just, like, yeets it to the other person.
Ooh, that's actually a good idea. Smart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. Or, like, carrier, like, pigeon foxes or something, you know?
I have to nerd out very quickly about Nick All-Star Brawl. Are you either of you familiar with this video game?
No.
It is, like, a Smash Bros. Game for Nickelodeon characters.
Huh.
Oh,
and
fun.
And they have Aang, Korra, and Toph as playable characters in this game.
Toph.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Toph had this move that they had to patch out because it was hysterical. Basically, she can jump up and she can make a rock platform beneath her.
Uh-huh.
And you can glitch it out so you just keep on going until you're off the stage and then nobody can touch you. You just stand there until the timer runs out.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Perfect.
Like, and to patch it out.
That would be my strategy.
But speaking of Toph, I wanted to mention a couple of things about her this episode.
That she's a motherfucking bad bitch.
Yeah, that she's the best character in all of history.
By far. She just kind of last episode, she's like, hey, metal's like basically Earth, right? I could probably bend this. And then she's like, bam, I can bend metal now.
Fucking
cool.
Icon.
Fight! Yeah. That is what we love to see.
Yeah, the dude's like, is it not even you can't bend metal? And she's like, Fuck you, bitch.
Yeah. You. Bitch, watch me.
Don't tell me what I can't do.
Yeah. I love that she recognizes Iroh's footsteps from the door and, like, knows that he's the guy that she met out there in the wilderness. And, like, it's such a brilliant piece of dramatic irony because it's not like we know something the characters don't.
Yeah.
It's like the other characters know something that Toph doesn't, but, like, it's almost kind of beautiful in how it doesn't matter to her.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
God knows Toph doesn't give a fuck what they think. Like,
right.
True. Yeah.
I also love that she, like, imprisoned those guys in that metal box and, like, they're going to die. Like, they're going to starve and die.
For sure, already dead.
And Toph was just like, suck my dick, spend the last 3 hours of your life thinking about how good I am at things. And I was like,
They were out in the desert, right? They're like cooked now. They're food. They're steak dinner.
Inspiring right. levels of violence and pettiness.
And I love
it's
that
the things that
the
don't happen
of,
off screen.
In this I love in the start of this episode, Appa literally just like Aang is making the rounds and picking everyone up. And then Toph's just like, hey, what's up, guys? All right, we're going. Yeah. She doesn't mention being kidnapped at all. She's just like, yeah, whatever. I had a Thursday. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, or like the fact that she can now bend metal. She's just like, why would you assume that I can't bend metal?
Right, yeah.
I've been able to do that this whole time. I just haven't. The situation hasn't arisen or presented itself.
I never asked.
Yeah. Yeah, I told you I'm the best earthbender in the world, and I am, so.
How she knows immediately that the Kyoshi warriors aren't, like, even Sokka doesn't know. Yeah. He sees the other Kyoshi warriors, and he's like, hey, where's Suki? And Toph's like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
This is the birds of prey. What are you doing?
Everyone is useless but Toph.
Like, Toph is so OP. Like, she's amazing. Watching Sam react to her the first time, he was just like, where the fuck has this girl been? Like, what has been going on?
They make you wait for her, but it's so worth the wait.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. What an icon.
It's like when she's like the party member where, like, if she's sick for a session, you just don't even have the session because your party's going to get, like, screwed by the big bad.
Yep.
Long rested up. Yeah, yep. Have a lot of conversations during your long rest.
So what did you guys do tonight? Oh, we roleplayed and we bought potions at the merchant.
Yep.
We trained our pet badger to retrieve things for us.
Yeah, it was great. We have a pet badger now, by the way.
Yeah.
His name's Bob.
Picked one up.
I just have to, like, so speaking of D&D decisions, when they all finally, like, do, like, reunite and then they're realizing, like, oh, we gotta, you know, we're gonna go this way. Like, Sokka, who's the ideas guy, is like, yeah, we should totally split up, guys. Like, we'll go and get the Earth King and then y'all go rescue Aang or Katara and whatever out of prison. And, like, this will be great. Like, what could possibly go wrong?
It doesn't work for Scooby-Doo. It didn't work for y'all last episode. It's not going to work this time.
Little Sokka. He's trying his best.
Yeah. I do like how they show up and they just, like, school, like, Ty Lee, and they go to turn to May, and May's just like, eh, fuck it.
Whatever.
Just take the bear.
I don't care. They
don't
pay me enough for this shit.
May's, like, playing her Switch. She's just like, I can't be fucked for this. Yeah.
She's like, I truly don't care about the bear. You can also take Ty Lee. It's fine.
Actually, I will pay you to take Ty Lee.
Truly. Yeah.
Please.
It would be a material benefit to me.
Yeah,
it's also, and speaking of time, like, we thought that, like, Zuko would have turned to the, like, the good side by now, like, or the light side. No, him and May are still in the same city, and, like, they haven't crossed paths. In fact, like, when he is imprisoned down in the crystal catacombs or whatever structure below the city, like,
big fuck off battle arena underground.
Yeah. We get the first inklings of potentially of Zutara.
Yes.
So,
sexual tension is, like, palpable, my God.
Uh-huh.
The scene that launched a thousand ships.
The scene that launched a thousand ships. That might be the episode title right there.
I just don't understand, like, how people have gotten this long and they're like, yeah, Aang and Katara, they're like, they're meant to be together. It says it from the first episode. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. But we've had two whole seasons and we do not get the amount of sexual energy that we get in this one like scene with Katara. Well, it's hard because
Aang is like 12. Like, that's something that we talk about in Lore Olympus a lot, is like suspending our disbelief around ages in this like fantasy paradigm. But it's a lot fucking harder with Avatar, because I'm like, this kid looks like a fucking child. Like,
12 and 14 are so different. Like, that, it's just little brother energy for so much of it.
Like, rip Aang. Rip Aang, man. You're doing your best, hun. But like, puberty will come one day.
Aang just, we switched to a new episode and Aang's like, hey everybody, how's it going?
Yeah, like the last season of Full Metal Alchemist energy. Like, now I'm a foot taller.
Oh my god, perfect. I love Aang's like granddad Iroh conversation with Iroh. He's like, I need some advice, my man. And Iroh's like, sure, what's on your mind, kid? Like, just completely immediately like warm to Aang in a way that is just really refreshing. Yeah. And I think, in my personal opinion, that, like, Iroh's philosophy of, like, fuck enlightenment, be happy. Yes. That's what enlightenment is all about. That is what enlightenment is.
100%. Yeah. I was so stressed for little Aang when he had been doing all of that chakra stuff. And I was like, this can't be it. Right? Like, whatever. Yeah.
This is all so easy.
Yeah. And then, when Iroh was like, no, perfection and power are overrated, I was like, thank God someone said that to this kid. Like, that's so real in real life. Yeah. And for these characters, I was like, thank God for Iroh.
Yeah.
So many hippie euphemisms. And I'm just like, dang, like, you know, this is a kid show, but if it weren't, like, we would definitely have gotten a scene where Uncle Iroh is not just into, like, drinking tea, but also, like, smoking some other type of leaf.
Mm-hmm. What do you think's in that tea? Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Could be anything.
100%.
That's some THC right there.
Yeah!
Got him. I love the scene where Azula is squaring off with Longfang, and Longfang's like, this is the part where I betray you. And she's like, oh, ho, ho, ho. Like,
yeah, it reminded me. Best of luck to ya, truly.
it reminded me of the ending of Solo, that new Star Wars movie that came out a few years ago, where it, like, it feels like every 2 minutes someone has double-crossed someone else. It's like, I double-cross you. I double-double-cross you. I triple-double-cross you. I double-dog dare double-triple-cross you.
Jesus. It's funny. I know that I saw that movie, but I can't remember even one thing about it. So I think that that's what I thought of it.
That's the main problem with that movie, right? Is that you don't really remember anything about it.
You're not the only one,
There was like a big fuck-off vertical ship that was kind of cool. That's the only thing I remember. There was a big vertical ship at some point.
That vaguely rings a bell.
Yeah.
Sorry, my cat
says
hi.
But I'm a spaceship nerd, so.
Kitty!
She's a baby.
Oh, we want to see the kitty.
Okay, come here, baby.
We need to derail this podcast right now so we can see this cat, and then we can all move on.
She says, "Fuck you."
Oh, no.
She's like, "Do what I want."
Like every cat ever.
Baby.
Yeah. I know you want her. What's her name?
Her name is Prez.
Hi, sweetie.
Oh, precious.
Oh, my God.
She gives aggressive licks.
She gives the best kitty kisses. Yeah.
If our cat did that, it would be to swat at our faces.
Yeah.
She does, like, it, I don't know if you can tell,
but she's
aggressively. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't move.
Baby. I'm not done with you yet.
Literally. She's like, if you're gonna
let me love you.
You make sure your face is all nice and good for the podcast.
Yeah, we always joke that she's just like, you're filthy, mom. You can't clean yourself. You're an embarrassment to the family.
It's like the aunt or like the mom, like licking her finger and like getting all like the smudge off your face before picture day.
Exactly.
That energy. Is adorable. Our cat Phoebe is the you think you know, like, stereotypical cat. You take that and you dial it up to 10 and, like, yeah, she just, you know, when we come home after our vacation, we were gone all last week for my brother's wedding, and we come home and she is miserable for two straight fucking days. She, like, she comes in, like, immediately is, like, like rubbing on our leg, but then immediately, like, swatting at our ankles because she's like, I love you, but I hate you. How dare did you leave me? And she wants you, like, she's like, no, I'm going to make you earn my love. Oh, like, baby. I'm going to show you how much, how miserable I was for 2 days.
Baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I love her. She's a brat, but we love her.
That's yeah, that's the energy. That's the energy.
And then our, and then we have our Appa. We have our Appa named Puck. He's a good boy.
What kind of beast is Puck?
He's a doggo.
Oh,
he's
a special.
He's a 10-year-old lab who's has a little like flipper paw like deformity on his front paw, and he's a vibrant and sweet lad.
Oh, I love labs.
We call it his Nemo paw.
Yeah,
oh my god, stop.
Yeah. I'll be sure to post a picture.
And I have a bird who's not in the room because he screeches a lot.
That's fair.
Yeah. But that's all of our animals. We're not crazy animal people. We just have a few.
We have a zoo.
That's a reasonable number of animals.
Yeah.
My Sam once had 17 rabbits. So 17. You don't have to worry about seeming reasonable with your animals to me.
Started with 4, right? And then like went away on vacation, came back. There were like 17 of them.
Started with 2.
And ended with 17 inbred rabbits.
That nobody fucking wanted.
Nope.
Did he just keep all 17 of them?
Yes. Each, they had a rabbit room in their house with 17 individual rabbit cages.
Oh my god. I mean, you had to eventually separate them, or else you would have gotten like 34 and then 60, like 8, and then just going
exponential
and
growth. They were all named like Dusty and Rusty and Busty and like who knows?
Busty and Fusty and
Busty the rabbit. God,
Dasher
that,
and Dancer and Prancer. I don't know. It was like
that rabbit had a pair of fucking milkers on it. I've got to tell you what. That Busty the rabbit.
Busty the rabbit. What a gal.
About to make me act up.
Yeah. That's why she had her individual crate. You know what I'm saying?
Busty is getting a little feisty.
A little feisty.
This is on-topic Avatar content, right?
Anyway, back to talking about this show that we like to talk about. Aang gets back to the apartment, and he's like, Momo! And Momo comes over, and Momo's like, hey, there's 16 more of me back here. In the, I've been fucking like a rabbit, okay? I'm sorry.
You've been gone a while.
Yeah, you've been gone a while.
Surprise.
And Aang's like, I was gone like 3 days!
Yeah.
Mom was like, that
very
was a
fast
long
gestation
time.
Period.
Oh, precious Momo.
Yeah, Momo is the best. Honestly, that was the most heartbreaking vignette for me of the Tales from Ba Sing Se.
I
when
cried.
Appa's missing.
Yeah.
Because we all remember how sad it is for Uncle Iroh with Leaves from the Vine, but we all forgot about Momo and him missing his bestest furry friend.
That was that, and then you get hit with the whole ass Appa episode. I rewatched those today and I just sobbed. Like the whole Appa episode. I was like, why is this happening?
Skip. Honestly, skip. Too
never
sad.
Again.
That's not why I'm watching this. Yeah.
I will never watch that again.
We had to set up a Appa support group channel on our Discord because from the time we recorded the library episode where he goes missing to the time of Appa's lost stays, it was like 4 or 5 months. It's
literally like all summer and then some. God. It was a long, long Appa drought and... Oy. We needed help through it, so we just got bombarded with Appa gifts in our Appa support group chat.
That's good.
Which y'all can access if you join our Patreon. Hey, we have a Patreon. If you want, you can join us. Throw a couple of bucks to your podcaster. Toss a coin to your podcaster. That's the joke that I was trying to make.
Yeah.
And we'll hang out on the Discord, and it's cool, and we're on there all the time, and it's great fun.
Oh, good for y'all. I am so overwhelmed by Discord. We could never have a Discord for our podcast. No.
The only reason we have it is because we joined a podcast network and they figured it out all for us. Yeah, it is just like the Movie Night Crew server, and we all, each podcast has their own kind of like channel or group or whatever. But the thought of us having our own and managing that, I would want to crawl under a rock and die.
And there are three Patreons associated with three of the podcasts on our network, and paying a buck to any of them a month gets you access to the Discord, which is a lot of fun. So go ahead and...
That sounds like a bargain.
It's a pretty good deal.
It is a
bargain. We need friends, but we don't need them that badly, I promise.
We need friends very badly, so.
Oh, yeah.
We are actively accepting friend applications.
Yeah. Where do I apply?
Here and now, we accept.
Great. Katara does this thing with Azula where she like shears some of her hair off. It's like, I wanted to see like Katara just as a barber, just with her hair, just with her water, just like trimming people with her water bending.
Yeah.
She's pretty OP with those like squid arms.
Yeah.
So cool.
Feels like a druid spell to me. 100%. Like water squid arms. Yeah.
And I feel like we see those later. In season 3 of Korra, I believe there's a villain without arms, and she is a waterbender, and she uses like water tendrils to like move around and stuff.
That's cool. I've not gotten that far in Korra yet. I'm still in season 1 of Korra for the
season
first
3
time,
is so. I'll say this, season 3 is like why they made the show. Like, I'm such a huge season 3 stan that I'm like, season 1 is good. It's solid. It's interesting. It's thematically consistent. Season 2, I could take or leave. Season 3 is so fucking good.
Nice. That's
good. Yeah. Well, this is the first episode we actually see Katara using the water squid arms.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect complement to Zuko's fire whips. It's like he's playing Yu-Gi-Oh and he pulls out his salamandra card and is like, here we go, bitches. I'm actually pretty sure though that fire whip is some type of spell in D&D, and if it's not, then like
surely it is. The Lord of the Ring parallels are too strong. I am sure it is somewhere in D&D. You can make Balrog Mines of Moria fuck up Gandalf like fire whip thing. That's all I could think during that scene, as I was just like, there's a lot, this is a lot.
Gandalf.
There's just going to be a giant chasm that opens up further underground.
Gandalf and Iroh would be fucking bros. They'd be bros.
They'd be
they would totally be bros.
Well, so we see Zuko fire whip and Katara water Nene.
Water Nene,
But before this, when they're still, I want to like jump back briefly to when they're still in jail together, and Katara is just grilling Zuko and is trying to make him feel super shitty, even though he probably already feels super shitty. And you don't even know, the Fire Nation took my mother from me. And as we all know, shared trauma is the perfect way to spark a new romance.
Start a romance, right.
That's true. That's how I got my college boyfriend, was the trauma of physics.
Is this Sam or different Sam, boyfriend?
Different person.
I mean, who hasn't gotten a boyfriend like that somehow? Honestly. Let's be honest. Yeah.
That's also how our friendship started.
That's true. That's also how I got Zoe.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't think I would have even survived physics in college. I would have like showed up to the first day and then just got up and like walked out of the first class.
We should have
been
done
like,
that.
Nope.
We should.
That is a
our
big
GPAs
mistake was
would have
not
been better.
Doing that.
Yeah.
Like, you're in high school physics, I'm learning about like the gravitational pull of these objects and all this crazy shit. Like, what do you talk about when you get to college? Is it like actually talking about the elements? Is it basically like learning how to be the Avatar?
If it was, I would have actually enjoyed my college experience.
But it was not.
Yeah.
If no. only. God, can you fucking imagine if secretly all the physicists in the world could just, like, do earth bending and air bending and shit? Can you fucking imagine?
That'd be great.
What a time.
Well, they need to bust it out now so we can save this world before it literally burst into flames with all of us on it. So.
Yeah.
I think the one concession is, like, we're going to be the last generation that just gets to skirt in under the wire. Everybody else is going to have to deal with it. But hopefully.
Oh. The last generation to be able to pass this buck off. That's us.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Oh, Lord. This is depressing. Anyway, so then Aang fucking dies.
Yeah.
This is an insane moment for me. It's like, we just see Aang straight up die on screen, which is like, can you imagine another kid show of that era like doing that? If just Ed Double D just fucking dies like on screen, just like, what the fuck?
No,
what the fuck? It wasn't worth the Jawbreakers, man.
Fucking Jesus. Yeah.
I don't even know, like, is there another kids show or even a like teen or like older like kids show that like sees a character just straight up die on screen by the hand of another character?
Like, if we're talking teen shows, like Pretty Little Liars and Riverdale kill off 6 people every episode. But
okay, well, there you go. Yeah.
that might be like, but those are distinctly trash shows.
Teen trash shows, but hey, like, I love my teen trash. Thank you very much. I was still reading young adult novels until now.
They're
I
good.
Still read them.
Same.
Still read them occasionally.
I'm trying to think if we see any characters in Adventure Time die.
Yeah.
Oh, good question. I feel like we had to have at some point.
Like, at least in the very end, we had to, right?
Does no candy person ever get eaten as like a cruel joke, as like a dark joke? I feel like that has to happen at some point.
Well, yeah, they are. In the very first episode, they're having like the candy sleepover, and I forgot who it is. It's the donut guy who is like also the grave digger. Oh, yeah. And like he gets like they all turn into candy zombies, and literally that like Jake or Finn is trying to keep all of the candy people occupied at this party while Princess Bubblegum has to come up with the de-zombification serum or whatever she calls it. Yeah, or else because if they get too scared, the candy people just burst into confetti.
They just explode. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So yeah, and death is very much covered in the first episode of Adventure Time.
Oh my god.
Which is one of my, like, Zach loves Steven Universe. I love Adventure Time.
I love Adventure Time.
It got me through some dark places in grad school.
I respect
that. I have a very special place in my heart for Adventure Time, but I was always more of a regular show kind of kid.
That's fair.
I didn't realize that Aang actually, and I kind of feel that it would have been such a better cliffhanger if Katara didn't revive him at the very end. Like they were just there, or like what if Katara had used the water on Zuko and just didn't have it there to use. It's like, I mean, you know where you can get more. You can always go back to the Northern Water Tribe and that Spirit Oasis. But damn, like, I feel kind of like they did at the end of the last season of Stranger Things, where, sorry, I'm not trying to give away. Have y'all watched Stranger Things or intend to?
I have. I don't know about the listeners.
I haven't seen the most recent season myself.
Then we can't talk about it.
But I also, like, probably won't get around to it, so just, you can feel free to say it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sorry, you can blame me in retrospect after, but when we think Hopper dies at the end of the third season, and you're like, fuck, man. Like, that just hit you in the feels, and it felt like a very dignified death and send off to this character. But, like, they don't even, like, let it simmer a week. It's, like, the end of the credits, and they're in some secret government lab in Siberia or some shit, and, like, we, like, see Hopper, like as a prisoner. And we're like, fuck, so he's not even dead. So we literally couldn't – you couldn't let us let it simmer for, like, even a week. Yeah.
See, so. For me, it's, like, I really like a good character death. Yeah. I think that it's a strong plot decision. I even like it in D&D. Like, I like it when – a character either, like, overcommits or has some very important thing that they fail in some meaningful way and they die. I think that can add a lot to the story. And it feels like sometimes people are just like, oh, well, what the enjoyment that we get from the show is going back and picking out all of the little tiny details that prove that they're not dead yet, and it's fine, everybody. They're still alive. And it's like, but what, like, they could be dead, though. That would be fine. Like, why is that not fine? Yeah. Anyway, I don't think that the creators of this children's show, would be able to get away with just, like, offing Aang and then being like, all right, credits, fuck you guys.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was, like, part of it. Like, they drew the line at, like, well, we can have Aang die, but, like, we have to let the kids know he's going to be okay.
The producers are like, all right, you're going to do what now?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as he is alive and smiling at the end of the episode, I guess that's fine.
Yeah, I also felt like it was, like, kind of ambiguous that he had, like, actually died. I was like, is he, like, how injured is he? Like, what scale are we talking about here?
I agree. I was like, is he passed out?
Yeah.
Is he? And then it wasn't until later when he's like, I don't know, talking to Katara or somebody, and he's like, oh my God, I died, that I was like, oh my God, you died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Was there a ring of white light? Like, what did you see?
Yeah, Aang, tell us.
How did you cheat death?
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
I also, like, I'm questioned, like, I understand it's, like, this fancy healing water that has spiritual properties, but is it enough to bring someone back from the dead? Like, because in D&D, that's some, like, dark magic. Like, that is some, like, level 7 necromancer shit.
Maybe it's, like, that paired with Katara's intrinsic special sauce, you know?
Yeah.
Her healing... Special.
Whenever there's some shit like this and it's not supposed to be dark magic, I always think about the Princess Bride and the guy being like, oh, you know, there are different levels of dead. There's, like, fully dead, and then there's mostly dead. This guy's only mostly dead. And
Billy, like, Crystal.
Yeah.
Being like, yeah.
And I'm always like, I guess he was mostly dead.
I guess.
Like, he just needed some good CPR.
They're like, Aang, what's keeping you in this world? And they press on his chest. Yeah. And he's like, true love.
Exactly.
Speaking of Princess Bride, I got very big, like, Dread Pirate Roberts energy, like, with Azula and Longfang when she's like, yeah, I am totally gonna just make it look like you captured me, but really I'm playing the long game here. And it's when they're sitting there with the poison and he's like,
is in your cup.
Like, Vizini.
Longfang's like, well, it can't be in my cup, because then I would absolutely switch it and you would die. But it can't be in your cup, because you would want to put the poison as far away from me as possible.
I also, like, speaking of Aang's death, I saw also on the wiki, someone made the incredible point that I don't know that I agree with, but I thought it was an impressive level of overanalysis, which I always like to see, where they say that basically the way that Katara, like, carries Aang afterwards is very, I was like, oh, we love that gender subversion. Yes, carry the damsel in distress man. But this person points out that it's a very reminiscent of that, like, sculpture of, like, the Virgin Mary cradling Jesus's dead body. And and then it, like, draws the parallel all the way through, you know, with, like, resurrection and stuff. And I was like, I choose not to import like Christian symbolism into Avatar. Thank you, let me have this space. But I was like, that is
totally
that's
agree.
Compelling though. Like
yeah, no, it's very interesting. Yeah. It's definitely very interesting.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up because that was totally in my notes.
Yeah.
Way to go.
We're totally not the first show to like get on the wiki and see what tidbits that they have there. Yeah, we don't do that ever.
I think we're coming up on the end of our show here.
Well, babe, I have to say this may just have been my favorite episode that we've recorded of all time.
Yeah, it was a pretty solid banger. Hey, listeners, it's us from the future. We're here to hand out some experience points.
Uncle, do you realize what this means?
I won't get to finish my game.
Shouldn't there be a board or some pieces or something to jangle?
I won Dungeons and Dragons, and it was advanced.
Evil? Or maybe chaotic neutral?
The Demogorgon!
We're deep shit.
You've been shot by an arrow.
Ow!
Well, there'd be penalties to her experience if she acted out of alignment.
Yes, and, you know, we're just going to cut straight to it. This episode was definitely a cliffhanger. Aang almost died, but thanks to Katara and saving the magical water that the Eskimos saved her, just like Bobby Boucher in The Waterboy, she literally saved the world, all of humanity from impending devastation.
Thank God she didn't waste that water on Zuko's scar. The Aang would have just straight up been dead. Season 3 would have been like, well, let's go find the next Avatar.
Come on, Zuko, don't you know that scars remind us that the past is real? Like,
goddamn.
All right, well, I think we can all agree here that we're not going to waste time. The person that had the biggest crit failure is the Earth King, because his entire character is a critical failure. It's not his fault, I know, that he lived in the palace his whole life and has never even thought about the people that are closest to him betraying him. But you know what? I stand by it. You're a milquetoast of a character, and the only reason that we are keeping you around is because you saved Bosco. That's it.
And he's talking about, like, their super secret plan, like it's fucking water cooler gossip. It's, like, complete nonsense to me.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick a real one, it would probably be Longfang, because when he thought he was so cool and, like, kissing Azula's ass, being like, oh, you bested me, you're so smart, and Azula's like, bitch, please, you aren't even a player in this game.
I'm sorry, did you think you were competing? That's cute. You were watching from the sidelines.
It's like basically Longfang shows up for swim practice and he's got his pool floaties on and his ducky survivor ring, and it's just like, all right, y'all, I'm here to swim the 500 freestyle. Let's do this. And Azula's like, aw, that's cute.
Yeah.
You thought you made the team.
Aw, he thinks he's people. My crit fail goes to Zuko, because how are you going to do your uncle dirty like that? Come on, man. You came so far. And you just threw it all away because Azula, like waved your honor in your face.
I bleed it out, take it deeper just to throw it away.
I basically, like,
I've opened off these scars.
it's like when your parent, like, picks you up from some unfortunate, like, incident that you have been a part of, and they're just like, I'm not upset, I'm just disappointed. That's me, Zuko. I'm not upset, I'm just disappointed.
Which is worse.
Yeah, it is way worse.
And you picked Azula, your fucking sister.
Yeah, gross.
Over Iroh. I can't even.
Don't even.
All right, well, this episode has too many highs for us to keep dwelling on these lows. I'm going to be a cop-out, and people can call me that. I don't care. At me on Twitter. Do your worst. But for me, my crit success is going to be twofold. The first is my wonderful partner, Zach, because I love you, and this podcast wouldn't exist without you and your editing and your patience and literally getting my ass up on mornings when I don't want to record. So thank you. You're the best.
I love you, babe. Here, let's get this sap off of this
like wipe the sap off of the computer screen that's now, it's just so sappy.
And then the second fold in is as our bacon, you know, we're slowly folding in those egg whites into our tiramisu so it doesn't deflate, is the listeners, is y'all. You're the best. Thank you for sticking by us for not one, but now two seasons of the show that we all know and love, and we haven't for some reason scared you away yet, but you know what?
So happy you're with us.
You've been here this long. You might as well stick around because we're going places, man. And
season three is gonna be big. It's like that, it's like the, what's that scene from Hercules when the, indoor plumbing, it's gonna be big.
You should just drop that in.
Yeah, I will. Go ahead.
Yeah, so just, and we love y'all, and we hope you love us. If you've made it this far and you don't, then what are you even doing here?
Yeah, well, see you later. Thanks for giving us a fair shake. And by a fair shake, I mean several dozen hours of your time at this point.
Oh, so who's your crit success, babe?
My crit success is probably Katara. She saves Aang's life and holds him in her arms and allows the Avatar line to continue. But also, you, of course.
Oh,
because you have...
No one saw that coming. When,
okay, no, but I know it's sappy. Take the sap off the tree, make all your jokes. But when I started this thing, I wanted to do a podcast, and I wanted to do it with someone, and obviously trying to find someone who was willing to get up and record with me every single 2 weeks and put out a consistent product was like...
Can you believe we actually started this podcast out as weekly, and we were only going to go to bi-weekly out of necessity?
Yep. No way. Our lives.
White boys got jokes.
So thank you for always being there and being my number one.
She was number one.
Ride or die. Avatar co-host. I wouldn't want anyone else.
Thanks. It's like, okay, I feel now or that it's the 1 year where the Oscars had two hosts with James Franco and Anne Hathaway. And James Franco was just blitzed out of his fucking mind. And Anne Hathaway was like, ha 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 ha, you all hate us and no one's laughing at our jokes, but I'm so pretty, right? Please love us.
All right, that's it from us in the future. Back to the original cut of the episode. Bye.
Bye. I can't believe it's the season like end for both the podcast and the show. Like such a cliffhanger, but thankfully we know in the end, like the gang's all right.
And y'all, friends, podcasters, podcastees, listeners, we're gonna be taking a little break. We're gonna be coming back. When do we come back? January? February?
Let's not commit ourselves to anything. Okay. So we'll be back when we're back.
We're going to be taking a few months off, friends, because life is life and we need to live some of it before we go back to recording. But we will be back early next year with more episodes of this show. Thank you, Laura Limpod, for coming on. It's lovely both having you both on. We definitely would love to see you again.
It was so fun to be on. Thanks so much for the invitation.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. We love Avatar.
Awesome.
And I love Lore Olympod and Lore Olympus, and Zach loves it because he lives vicariously through me.
I will say that I, as a visual artist, am very impressed with the art style. I love it very, very much. I love the look of it. Mm-hmm. I am sort of dreaming of starting a webtoon of my own, and so I've definitely looked through a lot of Lore Olympus's like structure to see kind of how they go about solving problems, and I definitely intend to read it at some point.
Awesome. I can't wait for the graphic novel to drop whenever it drops, because it keeps getting delayed because price of paper and book shortage and whatnot, but it'll get here when it gets here.
Amen.
It's gonna be amazing, y'all. We got an advanced copy and we can testify it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh my god. Y'all.
You just made Alex the most jealous person in the room.
So jelly.
The most jealous person in the Zoom.
It'll be here soon.
I know.
Yeah, it'll be here soon.
I just am wondering, I'm like, it's only though through like episode like 25 or something. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We are going to throw all our money at these books and yeah. it will be a joyful experience. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't well, wait to fill up an entire bookshelf with Lore Olympus volumes yeah. 1 through 50.
I already have my shelf like right next to my Harry Potter books. I'm like, this is where my Lore Olympus books are going to go.
Yep.
And your books of the transcripts of Lore Olympus as well.
Right. Also that.
Bind them and put them up there.
Yep.
Well, speaking of your podcast, before we end the show, Zoe and Aaron, why don't you plug your show and tell our fans where they can find you on the interwebs.
Do it. Plug your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's called Lore Olympod. And if you type in Lore Olympod on the internet, you will find us. We're on the Twitters and the Instagrams and the Facebooks. We have a Gmail. We have a website. We're on Patreon.
Yeah.
Am I forgetting anything, Aaron?
We're also on all the podcast platforms. So if you go to any podcast thing and you type in Lore Olympod, there's only one, and it's us.
Yes.
And amazing. It's us.
And
amazing.
You know what? You are actually not obligated to listen to our podcast if you just want to leave us a 5-star iTunes review and move ahead with your day.
That's so
also
true.
Fine.
We fully accept yeah. that. Choice. We also accept if you want to leave us a 5-star iTunes review and leave us a review that just says, fuck you, that's fine. Like, if that would make you happy, do that.
Yeah.
We just want the 5 stars. Kate, thanks, bye.
Call to action. Go give them a 5-star review and go give us a 5-star review,
yeah.
guys. If you listen to our podcast and you like what we do, give us a 5-star review. Yeah. It helps us get noticed. That's
podcast
been,
helping podcast.
Yeah, yay! That's been our show. This is My Cabbages, an Avatar podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Alex.
And we'll see you later. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thanks.
Divides their people, and a mountain divides them apart. They built a path to be together.
Yeah, and I forget the next couple of lines, but let me know.
You were never even a player.
That movie sucked.
I kinda liked it.
Movie Night Crew Network.